Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Moment Is Now. I am Stephanie Patterson, a.k.a. Lady Oracle Tarot, and with me today is Linda Jane Becker, one of my dearest, dearest friends in all the entire universe and one of the most spiritually aware people I know. And we have a great show today, but first we're going to say our hellos and update you on what's been happening. So I've said mine. Linda, how are you?
Hello. Good morning to you, Miss Stephanie.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. You and I were talking a little bit before the show, and I was telling Linda that much like the groundhog, I finally stuck my head up out of my hole because I'd been sick for a couple of weeks, looked around at the astrology and went, ew. So I'll be under my bed for the rest of the day. But
well, and that's scary anyway, so. When you go, ooh. Uh-oh. We have to be aware now. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, boy, is that the key word. The key word is consciousness and making valid choices and all that. So what's been going on with you?
What's been going on with me? I'm still working or still studying the aquaponics. That's mainly the thing that I'm doing and just trying to keep up with life as it keeps going faster and faster, it seems like. But spending some quiet time. Since our last show, when we were talking about altars, it's interesting that I built this whole big altar, was guided to build it, and not quite sure what it's for, but it's for something in the future and something mm-hmm. I'm trying to create through the mastermind group that I'm working with. So it just started coming together and now it's really beautiful and I was just, it's nice when you just follow spirit, when you stop asking
yeah.
questions and it just says, okay, now we want it to look like this and okay, I'm going to do that. And to be relaxed enough and trusting enough to not know where you're going from there, staying in the moment. And that takes so much practice, especially for me being double Taurus. I like to see the whole big picture. I like to have the
mm-hmm.
goal set in mind. And when you work with spirit, it isn't that way. Spirit is in the moment at all times, so you just have to take it one moment at a time. I notice when I'm doing like the altars or getting ready to meditate or finishing meditating, there's a part of time that just slows down when you're in the moment. And when you're doing that, you're more present. And the being in the now is almost like time stops, you know, which it can, I guess, eventually, or if I'm moving slower in time. But I really like that, and I always think that's interesting. When I'm, like, doing something through spirit, it's just, it's almost like slow motion. And
mm-hmm.
I like that feeling, but to keep that way, you know, in your everyday life, it's a little bit harder. But, yeah, fascinating. I'll have to let our listener know what's going on with the altar as it continues to make itself.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, I think it's interesting what you said there about time kind of slowing down. Kind of like if anyone's had the opportunity to see one of Linda's and my favorite movies, which name escapes me, The Peaceful Warrior,
mm-hmm.
where,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's always something going on and the drop falling off the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so easy to go from moment to moment to rush it because you're anticipating, okay, I've got this chore done, now I got to run here, now I got to make sure this is in the mail, and all those different things. And so
yes,
it's
taking
again,
it out of the moment. Really,
right, exactly.
That's
very, very true. Our subject today has been walking the walk. And when I started talking to Linda about this, to kind of bounce some ideas off, one of the things that struck me is that so often we get caught up in jargon and buzzwords and we're going, I'm withdrawing from this, I don't do this and I don't do that because it puts me in conflict. And that's fine to a point, but in my opinion, and I'm strictly going by my opinion, Linda may have another one, it also pulls you out of life and lessens your ability to connect to the whole. I want to start out with a quote from John Donne that everybody's very familiar with, and especially if you experienced the 60s, you probably had it in your dorm room. No man is an island,
mm-hmm.
not alone unto
mm-hmm.
himself. He is part of the main. And sometimes we don't want to get involved, and so we use the excuse, well, you know, I don't let that into my reality, or I don't partake in that. And Linda was making the point yesterday that there's all kinds of levels of involvement, and it comes down to being authentic. So, Linda, with that kind of thought going, could you kind of talk about that a little bit?
About being
authentic, being authentic a little bit more, walking your walk.
Okay, one of the things that we discussed yesterday, which I always use as a base to any of my thought patterns or action, has to do with Peace Pilgrim, when she told us and talked about to always work for something, not against something. And at the time when I had seen her and studied her information, it was like, don't march against the war, march for peace. And that really changed my life, because there's no resistance to what is, and you're not pushing back, and you're not trying to control something that's already happening. You're trying to move it in another direction, which is more powerful. And I see that in our daily lives as well. People complain about everything. And I would just challenge our listeners to spend one day and do not complain about anything. And you can't do it. I mean, there's a thought that's going to pass through your head. That it doesn't matter. People are just so stimulated and responsive to what's going on around them instead of what's going on inside. So we're just being reactionary people to what's happening around us instead of really coming from our hearts or coming from inside and not letting everything stimulate us on the outside to create emotions or our actions. It's really sort of opposite of what I think is the best way to evolve and the best way to live your life is to go from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so I would tell people, I know a lot of people, they know what's going on and different organizations that need help, and they're always asking for money, of course. And a lot of people can just send a check or something, and that sort of like lessens their I can't think of the word. Their conscience. Yes, it tries to. Yeah, it eases their conscience, but they won't go out of their way to do something to go beyond the call of duty. I think sometimes people throw money at things to make themselves feel better, and they do want to help the organization, but that isn't the ending of it. There's always something more you could do on your personal level, and that's why I would take this whole conversation today is walk your walk, that our power, and I've said this on several shows, our power is where we put our money. So if you buy from a company that isn't sustainable or isn't whatever you believe in, then you're really supporting that company. And I think we should be more aware and more awake of the products that we buy, because that on the bottom line, that is our power. Because if you don't buy stuff that you don't believe in, then you're not supporting the company. And exposure is really important, too, exposing what we see all the time on Facebook or on the news, all these companies being exposed and the workers, and that they're not out there doing the best for all of humanity. There's a lot of greed and there's a lot of power struggle that's going on in the outside world. And I would ask people to be more aware of where you're putting your money, you know, and just say, I choose to spend money at this company because this company represents what I believe in, or they're not hurting the earth very much. You just have to be more aware. You can't just send them a $100 check and then go ahead and buy products that they're selling, you know. It just cancels it out. It's not really doing the best that you could do. And I would ask people to dig deeper within themselves or where their money's going, because that's our power, because this is a money-structured society. So choose what you purchase wisely. Where do you put your money?
Okay, I'd like to take it past money and off money, because there are things that you can do that involve little money or no money. And the first one, the most important one to me, is voting. We have a ridiculously low voter turnout in this country, and it's almost as though people believe, well, if I engage in politics, I am giving into the illusion and I am dirtying myself. And I don't view it that way. I mm-hmm. view that each person, you get a vote. It is a free right given to you. It is how, on a very fundamental level, you can make a difference. And all it does is it requires you to show up and pay attention.
That's right.
Really the only effort. Yeah. That's all you have to do. And so sometimes it gets that basic. If you're feeling that overwhelmed by life, or, you know, you don't know which way to turn, go back to the basics, the small things you know to do. Mm-hmm. Whether it be bagging up cans of soup and taking it to a food bank, whether it be just, I'm going to make sure that in Oregon we have mail-in voting, so it's very, very easy. Mm-hmm. You just fill out your ballot, you drop it in, you drop it off, or you stick it in the mail.
Yeah, I love it.
The thing about, yeah, I know, it's great. I wish the whole country did it. The whole thing I would think that the whole country needs to do is make one commitment to show up and pay attention one day out of the year.
Right.
That's what they need to do, basically. And, you know, Linda really helped me with some challenges I had this week, because through World Events, I'm going, you know, I am so angry. There's nothing I can do. And that's when she took me back to the basics, what we're talking about here. Supporting companies that you believe in. Drive less. Make oil and gasoline a lot less important in your life, if that's an area for you. You know, natural resources, if that's something, you know, watch your carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are how you can live and walk your walk, instead of saying, well, you know, I just don't choose to go there because it's difficult. And no, you know, one of the best quotes I ever heard was from my daughter. She just moved to L.A. to live with Linda's daughter. and she was talking to one of the neighbors. And the girls at this time, they were living in back of the Hollywood Church of Scientology. And so they were watching a lot of limousines and everything happen, a lot of money being thrown around. Well, at a time, they didn't have much. And Beth was talking to her neighbor, and the fellow looked at her, and she said, I'm from Oregon. What am I doing down here in this big illusion? And he said, well, you know, it's easy to meditate in the mountains, but the battles happen in the valley. You're where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a profound effect on me. It really did. I love it when you raise your kids and suddenly they say something back to you and you go, wow, let me write that down.
I know. I know. That's the fun part of when your children become adults and they start teaching you what you've been teaching them. And the thing I like about that is that, oh, my God, they were really listening.
Yeah.
That I say. They were really listening.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not quite sure.
Right. Proof you weren't talking to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But another subject I wanted to touch on this week, too, was the different frequencies and the different vibrations that all of us are living at. And I'm always trying to find an easier way or a story or something to try to get the point across, because some of this stuff is is not very tangible. And I'm always trying to find some way of teaching people what I know. And sometimes you don't find the right words because the knowing's really deep. But so I'll try to explain a little bit, and maybe people can have a closer idea of how they're switching realities every day. Excuse me. I know everybody thinks that this is just one basic reality, but if you could see all of the different realities separated by emotions, this comes from Abraham, actually, by emotions and stacked like a sandwich. You know, our realities are not linear. They're straight up and down. They're not horizontal. They're vertical. So if you could see that there's like, I don't know, we'll say 100 realities happening at the same time, all under each other or above each other, not meaning that there's anything different about it. It's just that's the way that they're stacked. Now, as your emotions change, the lower emotions would be, you know, the on the bottom, and the higher emotions would be on top. All of this is mm-hmm. happening at once. So whatever reality you're experiencing, your emotions and your thoughts about it is what has kept you there. So I know that Abraham talks a lot about just moving your emotions, your feelings, up another reality until you reach the top, and then you see the whole big picture. So that's the one thing that I try to teach people about. just checking in and really seeing how this the reality around you is mirroring what you're really thinking. And another thing that I heard that really made me think about it is that spirit doesn't hear your words. And I've heard this at another time from several different teachers, but it recognizes the emotion or the energy that you're putting out. So it's not so much the words, it's what you're, because you know you could have a conversation with someone and talk to them on a whole different level. You're talking to them on an emotional level. You could be saying, oh, I really like you, but then, you know, you're sending out waves of emotion that's saying, you know, I wish you'd leave me alone, I can't stand you. And the universe is only going to recognize what you're sending out in an energetic level, not the words that you're saying. Words are just so, it's a primitive form of contact, actually. I think most of our energy is read from each other. We mostly read people's energy, you know, instead of exactly what their words are. And I think that's where it becomes confusing when people don't mean what they're saying. And so that's how you could tell which reality you're living in. If you love everything that's going on in your life, then just keep thinking the same thoughts and doing the same actions. If not, then try to use the next stage up, the next reality up, by changing something that you're experiencing through your emotional body. Just try to be happy. That's the thing, moving towards happiness and joy and finding peace in your life. I know some people say that's really hard to do, but only if you're distracted by the illusion. We're responsible for our own selves and nobody else. And even though we're connected, we're all about learning and moving forward and raising our vibration. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, I was sitting here thinking how so many times I will run across someone who says, you know, I've been meditating, I've been doing everything that they suggest, I've been, you know, positive affirmations in the mirror every morning, but it's just not working. And suddenly it became very clear to me that what you're talking about is this cellular vibrational level that the universe picks up on, because it's past languages and everything else. And
mm-hmm.
So that if you have not internalized that, if you don't feel it on every level, that's where you get into trouble. And that's, you know, that's how it makes it difficult to affect change in your life or in the world around you.
Mm-hmm. I also recognize that a lot of people don't realize that they're not being authentic with their emotions or their words. You know, that they could be saying something to somebody and really meaning something else, and they don't even know they're doing it. So I would ask our listeners to really see if what you're putting out emotionally or energetically is the same that of what's coming out of your mouth. Most of the time, it's not. And if you could get them in sync, then you have the ability to switch realities very easily.
It's a hard subject, because then you take a look at that, but you put it up against, oh, I want to say social etiquette. You know, we say, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, because, you know, don't make everybody else's lives about you. This is the tape we hear in the back of our head. Or, oh, thank you. Well, they were 10 minutes late getting you what they should have had 2 minutes ago, so is thank you appropriate?
Those are the things that
drive me crazy. You know,
well, it's just fun, you know, if you just go throughout the day and just try to be authentic, you know. Even if you're not saying the words out loud, just recognize what you're really feeling. Because, like you said, so many of us are on autopilot, you know, where mm-hmm. say, oh, good morning, you just say good morning back. Do you really mean it? No. You know, it's just a phrase. Do you really just stop that person and say, no, I want you to have a really good day? You know, I mean, people just, it's just words that are coming out. The meaning's not even there anymore. And I would ask people to try to be in the moment, you know, and try to be more authentic with what they're saying and what they're feeling and what they're thinking. If you could get all three of them on one track, you would be able to jump from each reality easily just by how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recognizing it first, you know, to try to recognize it. And I did this practice about not complaining and having no excuses. Just try to go through one whole day not complaining or thinking of a complaint. It's not just the words. And also than not complaining, but don't make any excuses. You know, I think that's quite a challenge. I've been doing that. Like, if you're running late, I don't have an excuse for that. You know, I should have left sooner. You know, whatever that is, to not get there, oh, well, you know, I had to do this and this and this, and I'm sorry I'm late. It's like, no, sorry. Let's don't do that. Let's not make excuses for us not being totally in the moment or totally responsible for what's going on. And I think that's a great challenge for everybody. See if you could do that just for one day, and you'll find out an hour will go by and you've already not done it, you know, a couple times. So
Either that or you suddenly find you have absolutely nothing to say to anybody, and that's the scariest thing.
Yeah, because it's just that autopilot stuff. And unless you stop and actually ask someone, no, I really want to know, how are you doing today? You know, and go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that's one of the first things you learn when you start working in criminal law, because you need, it's very important, somebody is terribly frightened. They're very upset with themselves. Their life hasn't turned out at all what they expected. It's like the old ad used to say, nobody wakes up one morning as a child and says, you know, when I grow up, I want to be, you know, a drug addict, or I want to be a thief, or whatever it is. And so part of that is you have to reach out to that person and throw them a lifeline. At the same time, you have to keep yourself above it, because if you get down in the hole with them, you're not effective in guiding them. And the other side of it, too, is you have to remove judgment as much as possible, because that's not your job. They're going to go to a judge. What you're doing is trying to help them and make them have some realizations and see where they're going in their life. And so a lot of the things I learned about growing spiritually came in very dark places, which I think is true for a lot of people. You know, it's like being in a war zone where you face death and ugliness, and out of that something beautiful happens.
And right. It's the contrast, you know, the contrast that all of us experience so we can make choices. Mm-hmm. It's that duality planet, you know. We have to have one for the other for this experience. So
right.
It's just, yeah. So
and it's also
choosing
like
more. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's also like you often say, is you've got to be grateful in that moment, too. I mean, it's like you go, I am so grateful that my choices were different, and thank you for allowing me or helping me make better choices for my life, or making my path different, or my choosing my path to be different.
Well, and then if you bring spirit along, a lot of times I just talk to spirit, you know, and things will happen. I'll say thank you for bringing my attention to that. I mean, I carry on a pretty good dialogue all day long, whether it's in my mind or verbally, with spirit, because I want spirit in every moment. It is here, but it needs to be recognized. And I certainly trust spirit's judgment over mine 99% of the time, and usually that 1%, that spirit's still right. So
exactly.
I trust the guidance, you know, because you know, it can see the bigger picture, and it knows whatever contract I signed up for while I'm here. I just finding that trust, and the only way I was able to ever do that was you have to surrender. Just surrender that you aren't alone here, and that you do have guidance all the time. You just have to listen. So I think that talking to spirit or checking in with spirit off and on all day, which is just your higher self. It's not like, you know, I don't quite believe in the God sitting on a throne up in the clouds. I think everything's consciousness, and I think consciousness is very aware. And that's whatever you want to call it, whether it's spirit or guidance or whatever. But if you start pulling that part of you along your journey with you, then it will definitely change your journey.
Well said. Well said.
Yes, it's the journey. I love that quote. It's the journey. It's not the destination. Because I tell my students, I tell them the same thing. It's the journey, not the destination. The destination is death. I mean, you know, that's our destination. Eventually we're going to not have this body, and we're going to move to the other side and not have a body. So if your destination is losing this body or letting go of this body and moving on, then are you really in such a rush to get there? So I use that phrase a lot for myself, like, where, why are you rushing? Why do you have to do this? Why are you going, you know, why are you so hurrying and getting down your list and stuff? Stop and breathe, you know. There's always going to be something to do. And that's another thing that Abraham talks about, that during this lifetime that we're experiencing, we are putting energy into our future, per se, for 40 or 50 years. So Abraham always tries to tell us you're never going to get it all done. If you just hold on to that, that you're creating so much forward movement into this experience that you're having, it would take, you know, 50 lifetimes to complete everything, every desire you've wanted or all the things you want to experience. And so Abraham says, if you stop thinking you're going to get it done, then you could slow down and enjoy life a little bit more. It's like running to the end of the finish line, you know. Why do you want to run? Let's take a stroll, you know. Let's look at the trees and enjoy our visit while we're here. And I always like that. It's just slowing down. We just have to learn to slow down. We're running so fast, we don't even enjoy life, and we don't even see it. We're just reactionary. We're not creative. Okay,
well, I agree and I disagree with that. I got to tell you, I agree and I disagree with that. Because
okay.
I think that there's the human stuff that's absolutely true of, that we get sidetracked and we rush. But
mm-hmm.
I think there is a core assignment that we're all given that we choose to take. That
mm-hmm.
once that information has been transmitted up and assimilated, that's the accomplishment. And then past that is just pure gravy. It's like, I think that there's two things there. I think that there's the mundane every day,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we get lost and we're hustling. But then there's that spiritual, that essence that we're here to experience, some kind of mission that we chose to accomplish, and that's something different. That's
mm-hmm.
just my take on it.
No, that sounds very good. I try to remind myself in the morning when I wake up to say, I always tell myself, I wonder what kind of miracles I'm going to see today, which opens a whole arena of possibilities, and that I'm open to receive things that I can't explain. So I've been talking to myself a lot about, you know, if I don't have an answer, which a lot of people want answers to everything, why this and why that. I have been doing not so much about why, I've been doing more about, it's part of the mystery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like watching a magician, you know. If you knew how he did the trick, I mean, that takes all the fun out of it. You know, the mystery is what's exciting. I tell people, don't tell me how they do that. That's cool, you know. I think it's
mm-hmm.
neat. However they did it, they got me, and I, you know, I really enjoy it. And so I have been doing that stuff that I don't have answers for. I just say it's part of the mystery, and that sort of just lets go of that insatiable drive to know the answer, which is just something that's put in there, I guess, in our minds and directed by the ego. It needs
true.
To know everything.
I do, before we get going here, and we got about 30 seconds, I think, I do want to talk a little bit about the astrology right now.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, so on the 11th, Mercury goes direct in Aquarius. And remember, Aquarius is an air sign fixed, and it's about individualism and innovation. So that's good. And this degree will be right back to where we were at the first of the year when we were setting all of our intentions. So this is a good time to access that energy and drive our goals forward, the things that we want to accomplish. On the horizon, on the 17th, we've got Jupiter quincunx with Chiron. Jupiter is the expansion planet. It's the Santa Claus planet. And Chiron is the wounded healer. So I would say look for some healing that's going to expand you during that time, during those hours that they're at this 150-degree angle. It's a rare aspect. It's a minor aspect, but it can get a little uncomfortable. It can be a little difficult. The big story is the new moon, and that's going to be in the last degrees of Aquarius. That's on February 18th and Pacific time. That's 5:13 a.m.
Okay.
What this is a great thing. It is again, Aquarius is the Hyksos sign about the individual. So I'm saying that this is the I moon. It's independence, innovation, and individualism. This, the new moons set our emotional template. They are for recommitting to goals. They are for redirecting our lives. So we have a lot of forward momentum energy building right now. The thing is, we're also... Yeah, exactly. And we've got Mars and Neptune conjunct in Pisces. Conjunct aspect means same place, same time. It's also, unfortunately, going to be squaring with Saturn in Sagittarius. So first, Mars and Neptune, that's going to be a very dreamy, creative energy. It's the square with Saturn in Sagittarius. Ideals and ideas are closely examined. And it's the ability to turn them into a reality. Not always smooth going in a square, but I find that I think it's going to be challenging, but it's nothing we can't handle as long as we ground, we cleanse, cleanse, cleanse. Keep your auras balanced. And now this is a big setup for next March, which is March 16th, and that is the final square of Uranus and Pluto. Yay!
Well, that sounds like a lot. I'm ready. I think spring's trying to come in, so I'm ready for the new energy.
Pouring in. It's pouring in. So ride the wave. Get on top of that and shoot that curl.
Okay. I guess we'll see you guys or talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening in. Bye.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye.